Everyone just say that name again, Jesus. There's healing in the house right now in Jesus' name. We proclaim that manifestation through all the internet, in this house, and as we leave here later on, the people that we touch and speak to, that anointing will just move. Lives are being transformed right now. Salvation is manifesting. Jesus is revealing himself to us. For those who have known Jesus a long time, he's revealing more of himself to you. Because that's what he does. He said, I will send the Holy Spirit so he can tell you all about me. Listen. Listen to that voice. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? That situation you're facing, that decision you're making, that hurt you're feeling, that despair that is trying to overwhelm you. Jesus. Jesus. Our salvation. Our Redeemer. You are co-heirs with Jesus. All that he has is yea and amen for you. That's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Online, you were searching for something. I don't know if you're listening now or later on. But the search is over. You found Jesus. You've experienced the Holy Spirit telling you about your Savior, your healer, your Redeemer, your Restorer. That situation you faced, that this is your last jump to try to find an answer. Here's your answer. Come on, congregation, tell the person that's listening. What's the answer? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Salvation is happening right now. God is moving. Hallelujah. Worship is being experienced in places that worship never had been. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the call of Valley Community Church, the house of miracles that has been obedient and faithful to what you've called us to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just someone shout, praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So I want you to know that in the beginning, God's plan is to reveal to mankind himself. Any situation you arise in, any situation you face in your life, whether bad or good, as we use that terminology. By the way, did you know that God never desired for us to have to choose between bad and good? Or what is bad and what is good? He chose us to hear his voice. Amen. So hear his voice today. Jesus' plan from the beginning is to walk in the cool of the day with you and have a relationship with you, to walk and talk with you so that you can hear his voice and he hears your voice. That's the plan of God. His purposes, his call, your name. Names are so important that when you get to heaven, you'll have a new name. You have a name on this earth to conquer all that the enemy would want to sway you into, and you can walk in that. But I want you to recognize that God is saying something very particular to all of you. Thank you to the families who dedicated their children. Through their obedience, it brings correction in our own lives as a church family, what's important. And I hope that you would receive, because when you hear the word correction, you have a tendency to think that correction is bad. No, correction is good, because the word was given for correction. And so we were corrected today with the love that parents have for their children to dedicate their child to the Lord, and it realigned us today. We use terms like, oh, that's adorable, that's cute, he's handsome. Not talking about the parents, the kids. They're cute and handsome too. But the reality is we have to come to a place in this world, because we are born in this world, and the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when he gave his son, the whole purpose, Old Testament, New Testament, was to reveal himself so that you and I can know who we are. And so what we're going to do today is talk to you about how do I know that Jesus is the only way? And so I'm going to go ahead and ask you to turn to John 14 and just grab your tablet and click on that. But I want to read this to you. I thought it was pretty funny. A man walked to the top of a hill to talk to God. The man asked God, "What is a million years to you?" And God said, "A million years is a minute to me." Then the man asked, "Well, what's $1 million to you?" And God said, $1 million to me is like a penny." The man paused a second and then asked God, "Can I have a penny?" And God said, "Sure, in a minute." We have to have our thoughts together. And all that happens because you and I understand that Jesus is the only way, not because we're trying to be inclusive, but because we're trying to realize who we really are. The world is looking for identity. The world is looking for of what's right, what's wrong. And God, that's not God's desire for us. When they chose in the garden the tree of good and evil, the bottom line is that wasn't God's plan for that choice. God's plan is that you could hear his voice. I talked about this a little bit in a conference I did yesterday and with Dr. Mila's group. And I talked to them about how we don't recognize, a lot of times we really feel like, or even people teach wrongly in churches, that God doesn't speak specifically today. That God doesn't talk to you. He's given you a book, so just get in the book and figure it out. But God wants to talk to you specifically. That's where I believe the great miracles and the great things that men and women of God have done throughout history get that vision and direction is because they were listening to the voice of God. But relationship is the key of everything with God. And without relationship, you really don't know his voice. But I want to, so that you can develop a greater relationship, we'll cover that next January and February. We'll talk about tune in and hear God. And we'll cover all these areas. How does God speak to you? There are 10 ways that God speaks to you. But the reality, you have to have a relationship before you know the voice. It's hilarious how couples who are married 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, they don't talk with each other. They don't communicate. And they might know the sound of the voice, but they don't know the voice. They don't know what's behind that. So what I'm asking you today is to follow me in the reality, because I'm not trying to degrade other people. I'm not trying to talk down on other religions or anything. By the way, my focus, I'll say it, is that I don't like it when we call Christianity religion, because Christianity is a relationship. And but in the world, we are stated we're a religion, Christianity, along with Buddhism, Islam, all the different things. And the difference, I believe, in Christianity is that we have a relationship with God. And we'll learn more about this today. But God seeks us. And if you want to say religion, Christianity is the only religion that the God seeks the person. Amen? So keep that in your back of your mind, or old terminology, in your craw, and pull it out when I start talking about this. Christianity is the least complicated and the most inclusive religion on the face of the earth. Because the Lord's main purpose is to reveal himself to you or to anyone who seeks him. He gives us a choice to receive him. So how do I know Jesus is the only way? Now, this is the last message of the How Do I Know series that we're doing. But we answered, how do I know there is a God? How do I know the Bible is true? And today, how do I know that Jesus is the only way? I love that last song we sang. In today's culture, the word only is difficult for a lot of people. Because there's just got to be another way. There's got to be more than one way to get to heaven. And you hear a lot of people will say many different ways in how to get to heaven, but I'm going to show you that there's only one way to get to heaven. Some believers think, well, what if some are so sincere and they're seeking God, but they haven't received him yet? Wouldn't God think well of them? I'm going to answer these questions today. I'm going to answer those little tweaks that people give in Christianity and allowing everybody to go to heaven. God wants everybody to go to heaven, but there's only one way. So let's look, first of all, at two scriptures that says Jesus is the only way. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus is speaking. Jesus said to him, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way or one of the ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And verse 6 continues and says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So we need to know who the through is. We need to know the Jesus that we sang about and the Jesus that I'm going to talk about. In Acts 4:12, this is Peter speaking the day of Pentecost, or actually the day after the Pentecost, and he's speaking of the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Conclusion, Peter's saying, Jesus is the only way. So here's what happens, though. Here's what goes on in churchendom and out in the world. People will throw this out and say, well, Christianity is exclusive. That's why I don't believe in Christianity, because you're saying it's the only way. You're exclusive. In today's world, they want to be inclusive in everything. That everything's okay in the mindset of man. You know, as long as they don't hurt you, everything's okay. Well, that's not what Scripture talks about. So my answer to that is they've been misinformed, or they don't have information of Jesus. Because every religion, I don't call Christianity a religion, is exclusive. See, I could go down the list, and I don't want to degrade people, but the exclusivity of Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, even agnosticism is exclusive in that the agnostic believes no one can know. So there's no one. The mentality of the exclusiveness is a play, literally a play or a ploy, I want to use those two words, of Satan to get people not to come to Christ, because we're asking people to receive Jesus a certain way, and people don't want only. They want choices. But God gave us a choice. But they want choices, plural. So I'm going to clarify some things, and I don't like, again, to call Christianity a religion, but here is my definition of religion and the true definition of Christianity. Religion is man's attempt to get to God. You got to accept this, do this, do that, do this, do that, be good, not be bad, all these things in order to find God. That's religion. You have to do certain steps. A couple months ago, I brought you to the different things that you had to do to be accepted in a religion, certain religions. But Christianity is Jesus is God's attempt to get to man. All religions, you've got to do something to get to that God, but Christianity is that you accept the God, Jesus, who is pursuing you, who's coming after you. It's an acceptance of a God who loved you so much that he died for you. And he came seeking you. Matter of fact, in the garden, when they sinned, they hid. And what you find is you find what? Jesus, we understand that was Jesus walking in the cool of the day to talk with Adam and Eve. You find Jesus looking, pursuing Adam and Eve. And when God found them, basically he knew where they were, they said, I said this yesterday, they said, I think, the saddest words some of the saddest words in the Bible. We were afraid when we heard your voice. Fear manifested because of sin. So when we receive Jesus, who have defeated death, hell, and the grave, he's also defeated fear, which opens the door for you and me to understand Jesus, to know Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus, to receive Jesus, and to know his voice. Again, Christianity is the least complicated and the most inclusive of any, this statement, religion there is. But I will say relationship there is. In Christianity, you don't have to do anything. You just have to receive someone. That's why, because I know the heart of God, I know who Jesus is, that's why I'm saying Jesus is the only way. I'm going to say it a different way. Christianity is not dependent on what you do. So right away, extreme people will say, oh, well, you can do whatever you want. No, it's not dependent on what you do. It's dependent on whether you receive someone who did it all for you. The difference between religion and relationship. Jesus came and did it all. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. We talked about that. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. It's complete. A completed work. And all we need to do is to receive that. Every other religion, you're not good enough. And all through Scripture, you will see these words, whoever will receive, whoever will ask, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Christianity is most inclusive because it's whoever. Whoever in this room will call on the name of the Lord and receive him, you can hear his voice. But what about the people who never even heard the name of Jesus? Or what about the people who lived before Jesus came? The Old Testament. Valid questions. But I'm going to do the best I can to answer those by understanding who Jesus is. And understanding, we're going to use this term in a moment, the attributes of God. The Bible answers these questions, but in order to answer difficult questions, you have to filter those questions through the person of Jesus Christ. You have to allow and avail yourself when you look at things, when these questions arise, what about? You need to filter it through the character of God, the character of Jesus. And so that's what I'm trying to do. We are a Christian church. Our last song we sang, Jesus, who is our Lord. We believe in Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But in other words, you have to understand the attributes of God to be able to answer the difficult questions. You can't answer the difficult questions by what people do or don't do, or what's good or what's bad. You answer those questions through a relationship with a God, Jesus, who sought you out. And you received him. Who did the work and said it was finished, and you received and walked in what that work did for you. But of every other religion, you got to do this, 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 got to do that. That's good, that's bad, that's good. And your life is always in a turmoil because your thinking, your confidence is you're not good enough. And so we do things good out of guilt instead of out of a joy that God has purposed us to do good. You following the thoughts here? And see, because you go out in the world and you hear all these voices, and there's only one voice to hear, and that's the Word of God, or God's Word, or God's voice, or what He specifically says to you that comes in line with the Word of God. So the word attribute, if you break it down a little, is a tribute. So it's an attribute is a tribute to something. If you were going to give a tribute to someone, you would talk about the good things the person has done and the good person that person is. Attributes are characteristics specific to a person, or if you want to use it plural, tribes, to understand the word. The root word is tribe, meaning a characteristic of a group of people. I am a Christian, and there's characteristics of who I am as a Christian, and that is based upon the one who did all the work, and it is finished, Jesus Christ. So my life, my way of thinking, what I do, what's good is based upon Jesus, not upon my opinion. What is bad is based upon the Word of God, Jesus, who is Jesus. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, you know, was made flesh, dwelt among us, all the different scriptures, we can do that. And we have to come to a place of recognizing when you know Jesus, you do walk in goodness. Well, Pastor, there's Christians I know have done wrong things. Yeah, they stopped listening to the voice of God. That doesn't mean that the attributes of God has changed. That means that the attributes of the man who is supposed to walk in those attributes changed. So again, before I can answer, how do you know Jesus is the only way, I have to begin by telling you the things I know about God. So I'm going to give you three. There's more. There's a greater depth, but because of time, I can't do that. But I believe the things that I'm going to give you are things, if you base your thoughts, your life, the decisions you make, the life you lead, your joy, what is good, all the different things on these, you're going to succeed in every area of your life. So here's the first one. God is good. Psalm 119:68 says, you are good and what you do is good. Psalm 86:5 says, for you, Lord, are good. Listen to the next part. And ready to forgive in his goodness, ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to some, to all those who call upon you. Notice the inclusiveness of the word all. God, you're ready to forgive all who call on your name to forgive. Why? Because he is good. So that answers the question, what if Hitler confessed Jesus Christ as Lord the day before he died? Would he be in heaven? My thoughts of good and bad, no. But he said to all, I'll go on, because some of you just got mad at me. Remember the game hide and seek? We hide and God seeks. It's what happens in our world. You know the story when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God. Did Adam, after that sin, go looking for God? Or did God go looking for Adam? I told you I'd bring this up. I already gave you the answer. So all of you should say, God looked for Adam. God is seeking people. Scripture tells us also, listen to this, and I'm going to show you, this is going to blow you away, about the characteristics of God being good. Scripture tells us he reveals himself to every person. What about the person never heard of the name Jesus? Scripture tells us he reveals himself to every person. Why? Because he's good. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Because I know God is good, I came across some scriptures that I'm going to read to you about his goodness. So here it is. 1 Samuel 2:27. "Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house?'" God clearly revealed himself to all Israel and all of Egypt. Some accepted, some rejected. Psalm 98:2, "The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations." Every nation, he revealed himself to them. Because God is good, everyone in every nation knew who God was. He revealed himself to them. God has made known his salvation and his righteousness to all when this was written. In Romans 1, he not only revealed his goodness, but he has revealed his wrath for people to understand. Romans 1:18-20. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." All right, we're talking about good or bad. He doesn't want us to make the decision what's good or bad. He wants us to hear his voice because he is good and he knows the difference. Verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifest or made known or revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world," did you hear that? "His invisible attributes are clearly seen." Seen clearly, not dimly. "Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead," the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, "so that they are without excuse." We're answering questions of the goodness of God. So God reveals himself to any person who wants to know him. God is revealing himself to those who are seeking him. He's good. Here's the second attribute. God is just. That's a term that's used a lot today's day. Psalm 7:11 says, "God is a just God." Remember we talked about the game hide and seek? Let me tell you about some more rules that God has set up. It's called seek and find. Jesus said it on the Sermon on the Mount. "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open." God set it up that if you seek him, he will be found by you. Now I want you to really hear that. Because a lot of people, "I don't get this." They go to church, they hear a sermon, and they don't get it. All right? But I want to tell you, if you recognize that who you're seeking is just, and he has already stated, "If you seek me, I will make sure you find me. I will make sure that what you ask of me, I will be found and talk to you about that." Jeremiah 29:11, we all know this. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God is saying, "I am good." And, you know, that verse is great because we memorize it and it's great. But did you ever read verses 12 through 14? Let's read it. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God's a just God. And you will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. In other words, I will return you to your purpose. I will return you to your identity. I will return you to everything that I had planned for you. That's the God, the just God that we have. All right, well, let's continue, because I got a lot here. Deuteronomy 4, 29. But from there you will seek the Lord, your God, and you will find him if you seek him with your whole heart and with all your soul. Your soul is crying out, I can't handle this anymore. Where are you, God? He says, I'm here. Seek me. Come on, let's do it. I know you're hurting. I know it's hard sometimes, but come on, I'm here because I'm going to let you see me. I'm going to let you hear me. Proverbs 8, 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. In Acts 17 is a sermon Paul preached in Athens. And one day I'm going to go there. That's just a place I want to go to. Acts 17, verse 26 and 27 says, And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times, or the times all men will live on the earth, and the boundaries of their dwellings. That's where you live on the earth. Verse 27, so, now the word so is why he has done, verse 26. You get that? So if you go back 26 and look at that again, verse 27 is the answer to that. That they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So, to be clear, God would not be a just God if he sent someone to hell who never had a chance. He's a just God, and everybody has a chance. So, with the many questions when reading the Bible, how could God do this? We ask, why didn't God do something? What about those who haven't heard? Go back to the Bible, and God says, if you seek me, you will find me. And then he says, by the way, I'm going to reveal myself to everybody. Bottom line, that starts answering your questions. It's not about the volume of knowledge you attain either. We need to grow. We need to mature in the Word of God. We need to read the Word. We need to journal in the Word. We need to get in Bible studies. We need to do that. But it's not based upon the volume of knowledge you attain. It's about the intensity of your searching. You see the difference? Search for him with all your heart. You will find him. Well, you know, I don't stand on a platform and teach the Word of God. I'm glad you don't, because it's one of the hardest things to do in life, isn't it, Pastor? When you get up there and you teach the Word of God, and people are hurting and they're struggling, and you're groping to God to reveal the truth to you the best you can, spending time, and it's a 7-day-a-week thing. That you go after it and do that. But you don't have to stand on a platform, be a teacher of the Word, to hear God. For God to reveal himself to you. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's the third thing, and I will close with this part. But I have 35 pages. No, I don't have 35 pages. No. Some people, oh, good, lunch is coming. Here's the third. God is love. You have to know this. You have to understand that you're seeking a God. When you're praying, when you're interceding, when you're praying to a God who is love. Love comes out of God because that's his character. John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, not some, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's inclusive. Whoever. So don't ever think or even accept if someone says, well, I don't go to church because they're bigots and they're this and they're that. No, the world is exclusive. Because they say, you got to be like me or I don't accept you. Jesus seeks you wherever you're at in your life. That's the God that we serve. He's a God of love. He's a God of love. Now, C.S. Lewis makes a statement. C.S. Lewis is a great writer, author. And he says, there are two types of people in the world. A person who bows his knee to God and says, your will be done. Amen. I want to be that. But then there's a person who does not bow his knee to God, and God says, all right, then your will be done. God gave you a free will. See, love is free will. Love is the ability to receive and accept and to give. And he reveals himself to every person, and God gave every person the ability to choose. Every person ends up in his eternal destiny exactly where he or she chooses to be. Let me say it this way. God gave you the dignity of freedom, and then to violate your free will, that would be unjust. God doesn't violate our free will. God gave you the ability to choose your destiny and to choose to love God or not. That's love. His love is not based on your choice, but based on his character. I'll say that again. The love of God is not based on your choice. He still loves you if you reject him. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture twice. Scripture tells us, shows us how God, his name is Jesus, wept because of man's wrong decision. So God gave you the ability to choose your destiny to love God or not. God's goodness is so much better than ours. God's justice is so much higher than mankind's. And his love is so much deeper than mankind. Now, I cannot tell you or express to you how great his goodness, his justice, and love is. I don't have the ability to explain it in the fullness. I can't. It's an impossibility. I could spend the next 20 years talking about the subject, and I still cannot go to the depth of God's goodness, God's justice, and God's love. But I'm going to try to touch on it. If I say, I want to show you the difference between my love for you and God's love for you, watch this. My love for you, and I love you. I'm your pastor. And I understand as much as I do God's love, and I love you. And some of you through the years have come to me, how do you love me? You don't know me. Because my love is not based on what you do. It's based on the character that's in me, which my character, I want to be like Christ. Okay, understand that? So if I say I want to show you the difference between my love for you and God's love for you, if I say I love you and you refuse my love, I hurt because I lost something. I lost that relationship with you. Happens in church. People come, people go. And it hurts. When God says he loves you and you refuse his love, God hurts because you lost something. Because you rejected his love. Follow me, all right? Again, Jesus wept the last time he entered into Jerusalem. The reason that he wept was because Jerusalem had lost something. That generation of people was going to reject him as their Messiah because it was their choice. If we reject his love, we will lose everything. So the conclusion, don't get hung up on the fact that there is only one way. Because there is one way. His name is Jesus. Get excited because there is a way. Amen? Get excited because there is a way. And again, his name is Jesus. You have a complete free will. You cannot say, God, you are rejecting me. But God can say, you have rejected me. And let me just tell you, God doesn't want robots. Let's go to church. God bless you. God bless you. 7 o'clock, let's pray. God created us as human beings, and you've heard me say this before, not human doings. He created you to be what he created you to be. And when you know who he is, then you know who you are. And you become who you are because you know him, the one who created you. But you see a lot of people say, I got to do better if I'm wanting to get to heaven. Hope I'm doing good enough. If it was that way, God wouldn't be a just God. You are a spirit living in a body. And you have a soul with a will being able to make a choice that's love. You can choose to believe in God or not to believe in God. And if you are watching online, I'm looking for the light. I'll just look at the center camera. If you're watching online, you're in the house. Thanks for the light. You're in the house with us for a reason. Jesus Christ is Lord. Seek him. He said he will reveal himself to you. All of us here today, God drew you here. God is drawing you to himself. He is asking you to draw closer. Come to me because it's relationship. It's not religion. It's not human doings. It's human being. He's wanting you to become all this. Why? Because he planned that specific purpose for you. And that's why that voice is there for. So you can hear. Man, I look out and I see the greatest people in the world. You're my church family. It is so amazing. Right after church, I always get a message from the state of Washington. And she will say, Pastor Gary, that was amazing. And all the different accolades that she does. She's just a sweet lady. But the reality is, she's seeking God. She's there every single week. Every single week. I got a message one day, I think it was a Monday or Tuesday. Pastor, my Wi-Fi didn't work. I wasn't able to watch you. How do I? And I told her how. And it was within 3 hours. That was a great sermon. But see, because I'm not saying that because I was preaching. Well, maybe it was Pastor Dan was preaching. No, anyway. The reality is it's relationship. And when we get it, that Jesus Christ is the only way, and then we understand what that means, it's so inclusive. He accepts all, for God so loved the world. It didn't say for God so loved the church. For God so loved the world, wherever they're at, whatever they've done, however, according to man, good or bad they are, God loves them because he's love. I'll tell you what, every day in my life, I wake up in the morning going, oh, good morning, Lord. What a privilege and an honor to have the God of the universe love me. And you allow me to do what you called me to do. You allow me to take this breath to be able to love those who still have rejected you, or to encourage those who have received you but are struggling. Thank you. So when I'm in a restaurant, when I'm in the grocery store, when I'm working out, whatever, man, it's Jesus. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's supposed to go up to 98 today. No big deal, huh? We got an ocean. You don't have a car, Uber. I've never taken an Uber. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Look around at your brothers and sisters. Again, thank you for the privilege of doing one of the greatest things you can do for your children, dedicating to the Lord. What a privilege and honor. Thank you. You know, it makes me emotional that I get to be a part of that. Amen. And guess what? Because I'm a part of it, you're a part of it. That we can love one another. Why do we love one another? Not because everyone's, well, I won't go there. But it's because we walk in the love of God. Let's just close our eyes, bow our hearts. I really feel led today. We've had many people born again the last few weeks. But I just want to encourage, if you're here and you've received the Lord and you love God and you're trying to do that term good, and you're struggling though in your emotions and your thoughts and your soul, and you're crying out, what do I need to do in my life, and I'm struggling. Maybe it's just recognizing that maybe your passion to seek God has waned a little bit. It's not doing something better. Because if you know God and you understand who God is and how much he loves you, you know what that does? That changes you. And then you start doing good. So let's get out of that. I got to do better. And let's get into, let's seek God in a greater way. Let's be more passionate. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, would you pray for me today? I really want to seek the Lord in a greater way. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about relationship. If you're here today and you want that in your life and us to pray for you, go ahead and raise your hand. Praise God. Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. I am so proud of this house. You can put your hands down. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Satan, I come against your lies. I come against deception. And I rebuke it in Jesus' name, that as we walk out of here, we recognize that our God is good. He's just. And he's full of love for me. And thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us in this. And as we leave this house, oh, we're going to see you in a greater way. And the revelation of you will be opened up to us, because this is a decade of breakthrough. We're going to break through and love you more because you first loved us, recognizing your character. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great holiday.